section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
WWE Superstar returns, multiple titles change hands at Payback, and who is live at TNA this week? All this and much, much more this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Jack Swagger may face some jail time. And what's this from again, Aaron?
Oh, you know, the time that he decided it was a really great idea after winning the Elimination Chamber to, get a DUI and, be found in possession of marijuana. So, great judgment on his part.
Yep, good job by Jack Swagger. And it's interesting because it looks like Antonio Cesaro is going to be possibly taking over that role of, Zeb Stabler. Or wait, Zeb's Stable.
Stable.
Thank you. Anyways,
we'll have to talk about that maybe next week because it'll be a very interesting topic. But Andy, the biggest news at Payback, possibly the biggest news, is that RVD is returning.
One of a kind is coming back to the WWE. Now, the rumors are right now, actually, it's not a rumor. It has been confirmed. He has signed a short-term deal. So do you think he's going to spend his time putting people over? Or is this going to be one of those things he's going to come in and out like Jericho does?
Probably like Jericho. I think it's actually really good. I think I said this before, too. Yeah, look, RVD is a little bit older. That's fine. But we're going to be able to see the opportunity of RVD versus Ziggler, RVD versus Punk, RVD versus John Cena again, things like that. And that'll actually be kind of cool because RVD has been out of the WWE since 06, I want to say.
Well, remember, he did come back at one point for Royal Rumble and then they never did anything with him because, well, let's just be honest. They didn't want to. It's like, why don't you come in? And then, 3 months later, you show up in Impact Wrestling because the WWE never called you back, even though you had the loudest pop of the night, arguably. Yeah. But, yeah, it's going to be nice to see RVD come back, and he's going to put some awesome spots in the Money in the Bank match, and I'm going to call it right now just because I just got a weird feeling about this, but I think one Shelton Benjamin will be returning as well. But we'll see, because you got to have one big bump, and he's always good for it. So this is interesting, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but there's a kid who accidentally killed his sister doing some wrestling moves that I saw on TV. Now, I guess my thing is it the WWE to blame for this or is it the parents to blame? And I guess that's really what I'm trying to figure this out.
I think the question you have to ask is, when there's a school shooting, you always hear that video games are to blame. Or you'll hear that the gun is to blame or that the parents are to blame. Maybe action movies are to blame or, other things in society. I think that this is one of those situations that it's really sad. It really is. But if you say that because this kid did it, that you should pull WWE programming, I think that's a little far-fetched. I think that that's not really the route that you should be going. I don't think that WWE should have put out a statement. I think it's actually dumb. I think that this is actually what they call the Streisand effect, where had they not said something, this would not have been picked up by, Lords of Pain or WrestleZone or any of the other wrestling websites. This is something that just would have gone away. It would have been sad still, and they would have said, look, kid kills his sister by doing wrestling moves to her. It wouldn't have said WWE wrestling moves. TNA didn't say anything about it because they're a wrestling organization too. So I think that this is one of those things that I personally don't want to touch on who's to blame. I just think WWE should not have said anything about it.
And that is my point. They should have just kept their mouth shut and just moved on. So let's move on to WWE programming this week. So Curtis Axel wins big in a weird way though. And Aaron, I don't think I've seen something like this in a long time.
The fact it's been a very long time, actually. it's been a long time since we've seen two pins happen at the same time, yet only one person gets the win. I don't understand that, by the way. Can you explain that to me?
Okay, I can actually, I figured this out. When they counted one, two, the Miz was unlocking the figure four and getting up. That's the thing. So technically, Wade Barrett did get pinned.
Okay.
But the Miz did like start to get up and was like, what? And then, of course, Curtis Axel on Father's Day wins arguably the best IC champion of all time, Mr. Perfect, his son. Curtis Axel wins. So it's, to me, it's a kind of a good story. I was very shocked about this because I wanted it to happen, but I didn't think it would happen. So kudos.
Do you think that this is too soon, though?
Yes. I think that by them giving him the title this early, it may hurt him, but also he's older. I mean, he's not, I mean, if I'm correct, he's 33. I think John Cena is about the same age too, or he's 33 or 35. So you need to push him. You need to get as much money out of him now, because later years, who knows how he's going to wrestle. I mean, if you look at Kane, Kane's a freak because I think he's 43 now. And he's still wrestling full time, and you would have never guessed he's that old. And he's still pushing it and having really good matches, surprisingly. And I think it's because Daniel Bryan's been helping him out with that.
Yeah, and you know, he's done a lot of tag team work, which is, you know, really great. Don't get me wrong, he still jumps off the top rope, and that's not going to be easy on your body. But back to Axel though. So I think that this was a really bad move. The main reason is you always have to have them striving towards something. And he wins the title so quickly. Look, let's get rid of the Michael McGillicuddy stuff. You know, let's just talk about him being Curtis Axel. This has been going on for 4 weeks now, where he's been Curtis Axel, you know, give or take one or 2 weeks. To have somebody win the title that quickly, I'm not saying it's, you know, oh, you can't have anybody win the title that quickly. But this was so scripted and so expected. And I got to be honest, I think if you would have had him get pinned, might have been a better thing, because then he could come out and say, you can't pin me. I'm Curtis Axel. I beat Triple H and I beat John Cena and I want a rematch. And then you do the rematch at Money in the Bank and then you have him win there. And I think that actually would be a better storyline. Because then Wade Barrett or The Miz, whomever it was that won, they would be able to say, well, I beat you, you know, and you were able to beat John Cena. I could beat John, you know, like just stupid things like that. So I don't like that. But I do want to ask you, though, about one of the biggest surprises to me, which was Dolph Ziggler lost the World Heavyweight Championship.
To me, this is probably the shock of the night besides what happened during the Divas match. The thing with this is that they have not done something like this in years. I do not remember the last time that you had a double turn. You had the face become the heel and the heel become the face. But what better place to do it than Chicago? Because Chicago hates Del Rio. They love Ziggler because they see Ziggler is a wrestler and he wrestles and puts on great matches. And he is arguably probably could be one of the top three faces in the company. The fact that they did this to him, I kept thinking, I was like, you know what? If Punk wins his match, what if Punk faces him the following night and Punk wins the title? Could he be a transitional champion? That's what I thought was going to happen. But
That would be, you know, to do that to that title, that would.
But that's the thing. It would hurt the title. And technically, Dolph Ziggler gets the rematch for that title. He gets first dibs on it.
But I do want to say that I think that this was very I think it was dumb to do, honestly, because I think that, you know, look, if you have Del Rio win and you say that Ziggler retains by DQ because Del Rio went too hard on him and the ref, you know, stopped it, which you can do. And then the next night, of course, on Raw, where we saw Ziggler jump Del Rio. And I thought that was actually a really great segment because, you know, I mean, when you saw him jump Del Rio, the crowd went nuts and they were cheering for Ziggler, who was a heel, who has a heel girlfriend and a heel bodyguard. Right. But apparently now he's face. They're going to need to tweak that maybe a little bit. But I got to say, I'm really digging Ziggler and the feud, I think, is going to be really good. I just don't want them to Christian it. That's my biggest thing, because, you know, Christian is a 2-time world heavyweight champion and he's held that title for like 28 days. So, I mean, what does that say? You know, and already Ziggler is a 2-time world heavyweight champion, having held the title for 50 days and only defended it once. And he lost the title the one day he defended it.
That is true. And the other thing I thought was going to happen is I thought that they were, in a way, making almost Caitlyn turn heel as well. And I thought maybe they'd turn AJ face as well. And then you have everyone in that little clique face. But they didn't. So you're right. How are they going to deal with two heels, or a heel diva, a tweener? Because Big E on NXT is still a face, but then on WWE programming, he's a heel. And then you have Ziggler, who is now a true face.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those weird things, and I'm wondering how they're going to explain it. But I was very happy with the match, very happy, and I do like the entire segments that they've done with this with Ziggler and Del Rio. Kudos to them. So John Cena comes out, finishes Ryback, and yeah, what's going on with Ryback now?
Well, what'd you think of the match?
Overall, I was like, okay, I can't believe Ryback won the first match, and then
I do want to point out real quick, I said, I guarantee you Cena's going to win the Lumberjack match. And I was wrong, of course.
Right.
But if anything else, Ryback winning actually made Ryback look pretty strong. So, but at the ending, Cena AAs Ryback through the ambulance, and then it drives off. Okay. What'd you think of the ending? What are you going to do with Ryback now?
Here's what I thought about the ending. He puts him through there, he pauses, and then he does his, spiel, where he throws up the threes. And I kept thinking, I was like, okay, this looked way too planned. Way too planned. And I figured this is how it was going to happen, because there's no way he put him on the stretcher and then throw him in the back, because, first of all, that ambulance looked completely fake. Completely fake. So I knew that they're going to do something gimmicky with it, which I wasn't sure what, but they did. He goes through there. Ending, but I thought that the fact they kept replaying it over and over again, you got to see the angles were, it almost looked like, oh, this is way too planned out, even though the match is, but it seemed overly planned out, if that makes sense.
What do you do with Ryback now?
I don't know. He wasn't even on Raw, was he?
Nope.
I don't remember seeing him. So yeah, he wasn't there at all. So he's, I guess, done for a while. Maybe he retires, like maybe Mark Henry was saying that he was going to do. But Mark Henry comes back. Everyone thought he's going to come back as a face. And he kind of said that he was going to retire. And he was like, oh, I'm going to retire, blah, blah. This is going to be my last match. But here's when I realized he wasn't going to retire. When John Cena stayed out there, if John Cena would have left and then he would have said, hey, John, why don't you come back in here? And then they celebrated, I would have never guessed a turn. But I did think it was funny. Mark Henry, he's like, you think I go out that way? Blah, blah, blah. I thought that was really hilarious. But they set it up. Money in the Bank. You're going to have John Cena versus Mark Henry now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you liking this?
I actually am. I was fooled a little. I thought that something was going to happen. But, there are times as a wrestling fan where you have to just watch it and not be like, oh, this is going to happen. You just watch it and enjoy it. And I think that this segment in particular, look, I'm not a big Mark Henry fan. I'm not a big John Cena fan. But this segment was really great. It really made you, it pulled on your heartstrings a little bit about, like, I'm retiring. I'm going to go see my daughter and, my family, and I'm going to just really enjoy life. And then, he goes and just, gives the world's strongest slam to Cena. And now you're going to see these two battle at Money in the Bank, which I think is great. I think that that's really good. You set up your main event 4 weeks in advance, which is something I've been begging for everybody to always keep doing. And they're doing it. So thank you. Kudos. Great, great segment. Seriously,
good job, WD.
Really good segment. I got to say, I can't praise WWE. Look, Payback and Raw this week were amazing. I was not excited for Payback, and I know we're going to talk to Doug a little later, but I just got to say, I wasn't excited, and now I'm like, wow, that was really good. I would have paid to go see that.
Here's one thing I want to point out too, that I have never seen since I've been a subscriber of the Wrestling Observer. This is the first time that of 133 votes, 133 gave it a thumbs up. Never is it that way.
Wow.
And because usually it's lopsided, like people will hate it, and there'll be some people in between. Everyone loved it. Like people were like, wow, this is actually a really good show. Kudos to WWE for doing this properly. It's almost like they got proper writers or something like that. Maybe. Yeah. Or did they? You never know. So CM Punk returns to Chicago, which at first I was like, wait, is that really Punk? Because they never showed his face at first. And when he came out, he had the Doug said, of course, it is the Wolverine beard. But to me, it was also the Jonathan Tays beard because Jonathan Tays has a problem growing in certain areas. So that's who he reminded me of. But he came out in, of course, the C and the Tomahawks with, his, of course, the Blackhawks logo on his tights. I was really excited to see that. Of course, CM Punk has become a huge Hawks fan over the last few years. He's been tweeting at all the games. And, of course, he was tweeting the other night when the Blackhawks won. But anyways, let's get on to his match. He had a great match with Chris Jericho. And great. You know, this is one thing I like about Chris Jericho. He does it because he loves what he does. And here's also something I want to point out with Jericho that's completely has nothing to do with the match. I actually saw a concert, and I only saw about 15 minutes of it that he did for Fozzy. I don't like Fozzy. But for some reason, his shows are great. And he just is a great performer out there. And I'm wondering if there's another wrestler out there that wants to start a band, can he do the same thing? Because as a wrestler, you react to how the crowd is doing. Chris Jericho did the same thing, and CM Punk did the same thing. It's almost like it was like almost like a dream match, you know. Great match for payback,
and the ending was really great too. You know, giving the two go to sleeps in a row the way that they did it was really great. It made Jericho look like, oh man, like, you know, you really have to take him out in order to do it. So it made both people look really great. Definitely stole the show by far, and you know, really great match. But let's talk about Raw. He beats Del Rio by count out. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, first of all, look, yes, I am a Punk fan, but it's not like I don't think that I am you know, disillusioned or I'm, you know, dumb when it comes to Punk. But I gotta say, him being back has made me watching WWE a little bit better, you know, just a little bit because of his character. So anyway, he beats Del Rio, Ziggler attacks Del Rio. Then you hear Brock Lesnar's music. Brock Lesnar comes out there and Brock Lesnar looks like he's going to talk, picks up Punk and gives him an F5.
Which was really interesting that he did that.
So is Punk no longer a Paul Heyman guy?
It looks that way. And which is kind of interesting because they just came out with a new Paul Heyman CM Punk shirt on Sunday, of all things. And then he turns not to be a Paul Heyman guy. So are they going to clearance those shirts or something? But I thought that was really interesting that it happened so fast. I was hoping that it wouldn't happen until like next week. Like he would come out and Paul Heyman would do, like, I was hoping that Paul Heyman would do something else that would make him mad. And then all of a sudden Brock Lesnar would come out like halfway through the show. But I think that they're wasting time with Lesnar by having him come out, F5 him, and then leave. So he got, you know, I don't know what he gets. We'll just say he gets paid like $100,000 per, well, not that much. We'll say he gets paid $50,000 every time he shows up. So they fly him in at 8:30 or 9, I think it was 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And then he comes out, F5s a guy, and then he's gone practically before midnight. So he was there and gone. Okay. I don't know. I thought that was almost a waste. It was almost if I almost would have had like, I thought it would be better if Curtis Axel did something to him and beat him up or whatever. Then CM Punk got the best of him. And then the following week, you bring out Brock Lesnar, you know, early in the show. And then
what about this, though? I want to just throw this out there. What if Paul Heyman comes out and says, look, I didn't do that. I don't have control over him. He's a monster. And then they run with a deception angle for a while. Is that going to be more interesting, do you think?
No. I think he's just going to come out. Paul Heyman's going to – they're going to make CM Punk definitely a true face because they need it right now. And that's what I think they're going to do. I mean, or it could be a big swerve where he did that to him, but then the following – you know, then when he faces Cena for the title, it turns out where Brock Lesnar comes out and F5 Cena or something like that. I mean, you could always have a big swerve or something like that, but – I don't know. I thought it was weird that they didn't use... I thought Lesnar in this case was not utilized properly. But that's just my thought.
All right. Well, Andy, Christian, as I actually had mentioned earlier, he actually made his triumphant return.
Yes, he did.
On Raw. What did you think?
I thought it was really interesting that he came out because I was like, when is Christian going to come back? And when they said that they're going to bring someone else to come out and wrestle, I was like, it's going to be Christian. And then I was like, maybe Evan Bourne. No, it's definitely going to be Christian. And then, of course, he comes out in his shirt and you hear the peeps go nuts. Yeah, it was nice to see him back. And I do like here's the other thing also that I thought was really interesting. When Triple H in the back said something about when they were talking about, oh yeah, we got Christian come back. He goes, hasn't he been cleared to wrestle for like the last 6 weeks? I thought that stuff was really comical because it makes Vicky, it's a comical thing where Triple H is making fun of Vicky Guerrero and Brad Maddox, which I really dug. I thought that was pretty good. I was pretty happy with all those segments. But yeah, the fact that Christian came back and he also came out in SmackDown and talked about his piece for a little bit, I was pretty happy with that. It's nice to see Christian come back, and I missed him. So anyways, we want to talk about something that did happen actually backstage. Not many people knew about it, but it did get leaked. During Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton's match, there was a thing where Daniel Bryan went out and he flew through the ropes and then he kind of hit his head a little bit on the barricade. Now, those barricades are heavily padded now because they don't want wrestlers to get hurt. Well, the trainer went over there and basically wasn't sure what to do. And then Triple H made an audible and said, we're stopping the match. Called the match. And both wrestlers were like, what's going on? And even Randy Orton was like, what do I do? Here, I'll help him to the back. Well, when they get back to gorilla position, which is right before you come out at the entrance, Daniel Bryan, who is very soft-spoken, doesn't talk back to anyone, laid into Triple H. And then Triple H laid into him, and they both argued for about a while about it. Now, do you think that Daniel Bryan really had, like, it was okay for him to do it this time? Because he's very soft-spoken. Everyone knows that. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
There's a point where you get pushed to a limit, and it's like, look, don't push me anymore. Like, that's not right to do. You let me do my thing. And you don't get involved with that. And I think that was kind of the thing with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan has, you know, just like any wrestler, you have your strengths and your weaknesses. One of Daniel Bryan's greatest strengths is his wrestling ability. One of Cena's is his mic skills, you know, like you get the idea. Daniel Bryan, you know, he said that he was still able to wrestle. Now, don't get me wrong, some head coaches have to be able to say, look, I'm sorry, I just can't let you. And especially if you have a program planned. Triple H might have had a program plan for Daniel Bryan. So I'm actually on Triple H's side for this. Don't get me wrong. I think that if Daniel Bryan was still able to wrestle, you let him. But they are able to turn this into a better storyline because Daniel Bryan lost because he couldn't continue on Monday. And then on Friday, he wins by a count out. And so this is going to lead to a, you know, no disqualification, no count out match, a last man standing. Something like that, where if you give Daniel Bryan a win over Randy Orton and you talk about elevating somebody to the next level, that's how you do it.
Yeah. And actually, the planned finish was Daniel Bryan was going to beat Randy Orton, which was going to be a big deal for Daniel Bryan. But anyways, just what happened afterwards, you know, cooler has prevailed. They both got together and they apologized because of the blow up and, you know, they were fine with it afterwards. But Triple H, in a way, he kind of had I will say this. He had it right because he cared about the wrestler opposed to the business. He cared about the person first. So I got to give him some credit on that. Actually, I got to give him all the credit on that because he did the right thing in this case. Because the doctor wasn't sure and it was very weird. And like usually cameras usually will go away from this stuff, but they're kind of there and moving. It was one of those weird situations. And I can tell that everyone knew about it. But, you know, oh, well, what more can you say? Besides, you got to thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down, the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page. You're going to receive a banner. There's going to be a banner up there, and it's going to be for WWE Shop.com. There's going to be a coupon code on there. Click on that banner. Use that coupon code. You're going to save a bunch of money on some merch from WWE Shop.com. And make sure you check out HighSpots.com. So let's move on to our weekly topic. So we had the Doug Hahn was actually at Payback in Chicago. So Doug, how was the pay-per-view overall?
I think because it went in with such low expectations for this pay-per-view, I was pleasantly surprised by it.
Now, do you think this might be pay-per-view of the year?
No, not even close.
Okay.
Is it the best pay-per-view you've been to so far?
No, I still think the Royal Rumble was the best.
Minus Royal Rumble, what was the best pay-per-view you've been to this year?
This one.
Yes, we got it. So, Doug, how was the crowd? Oh, by the way, Doug, did you buy the special edition CM Punk shirt they put out?
I did not. I did not get a chance to because somebody had to go drop off their camera at their car as soon as they came into the building.
Why did you have to do that?
Because they won't allow professional cameras, I guess, is what they're considering my telephoto lens.
What?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
So somebody had to go. And here's an interesting point. Being a police officer, now Illinois has concealed carry. I can bring a gun in, but I can't bring my camera.
That's messed up, dude. That sucks. Oh, unbelievable. Anyway, so, all right. Now, what did you think about the title change with the IC title change? I mean, did that go over well with the crowd?
I think it did. It was one of those things that, I mean, Curtis Axel actually got pretty good cheers and throughout the crowd. And then The Miz was even being booed. So, you know, I mean, Chicago is a smart crowd. They're people that are going to root for the people they want to root for, not just who WWE wants to shove down their throat. But Curtis Axel got some cheers from there, and I like the ending. You know, I think it's a little early to give him the title, but you know what? I didn't see that ending coming, and you know what? I enjoyed it thoroughly there.
Excellent.
Having him pin him while The Miz had Wade Barrett in the figure four, never seen that before.
Now, how was the crowd reacting? Because I think TV, it comes off a little bit differently, but when the fact that Del Rio beats Ziggler, how was the crowd reacting during that entire match?
I think that, I mean, to have a crowd like it was there in Chicago, everybody was rooting for Ziggler, even though going into it, Ziggler is technically the quote-unquote heel, and Del Rio is supposed to be the face. And then, I mean, the perfect opportunity to switch him around right there was at Chicago, and everybody was cheering for Ziggler. He was the face, and Del Rio was the heel. And then when I actually couldn't even hear what Del Rio was saying when he came back out because everybody was trying to boo him so loud.
Oh, my gosh. That's really interesting. Now, do you find it weird that Ziggler's – that they did this perfectly in Chicago? They wanted to make Del Rio a heel, and they knew that Ziggler would become the face. Do you think it was smart to do in Chicago?
I think it is. I think that was something that they were planning, and – the way the match just came off where you kept seeing Del Rio hit kicking him in the head, then everybody's, you know, and it started to feel that way too. And then when I watched a replay of it and they keep talking about it and keep talking about it, and it's like, yeah, he's really coming off as a heel here. I mean, everything. It just, he did it perfectly. I mean, it was a quick switch and a right switch, and it is one of those swings that you can just go right into with him. Oh, you don't like me. You're still, I mean, because people were chanting USA during the match, which was.
Now, Doug, I wanted to ask when One of a Kind played and you saw that RVD was returning, what was the crowd reaction to that?
That was the second biggest pop of the night. And I think it stayed with the crowd the whole time. I'm pretty sure you heard it several times. Everybody just started yelling RVD in random matches. Except for, I think, the CM Punk one.
Which brings me to my next question. So CM Punk actually wrestled. I know that a lot of us were skeptical of whether or not that was going to happen. But he comes out, and it was deafening on TV. How was it in the arena?
The music hit, and you get that loud pop. I honestly wasn't even excited. I wasn't even standing up until the idiot three rows in front of me had to put up his stupid sign. I couldn't even see if if Punk was even coming out. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of like that guy in Major Leagues, the movie, where, oh, he's not there, he's not coming, we're getting duped, and then all of a sudden, you know, here comes out Punk, and I'm cheering with the rest of the crowd like a, well, I don't know,
a mark.
6-year-old girl.
Yeah. Now, what'd you
just
think?
Just shouting that he's actually there, and it's like, I think he's in wrestling attire, too. I didn't even imagine that. It's like, oh, my God, he's actually going to have a match. I'm going to have a dream match between Jericho and Punk.
Now, what'd you think of the ring attire?
I loved it. I at first, I really couldn't see it, but then using the Megatron, which I had to use because somebody didn't have their telephoto lens, I then saw that they had the seat with the tomahawks, and it's like, oh, that's even better. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was really excited because I was like, wait a minute, is he having? Oh my gosh, he does! I was like, that's sweet. But
I was almost hoping that they would have Ron Boston. Just to see.
Oh, that would be cool. Did you now? CM Punk said something also right before he missed one of the GTSs. He yelled Blackhawks in 7, and then Jericho, you know, reverses. I think he got the code breaker there or something like that. But yeah, he yelled that pretty loud. I wasn't sure if you were able to hear him say that or not.
No, there during that whole match, there was the cheers. I mean, it was constant cheering or oh boo, or it was constantly going on, especially in several of the areas. And there were some areas that were a little bit more vocal than others. I know instead of doing the Fandango, at least in my area, we were trying to do a Chelsea Dagger. But then there was other people that were trying to do the Fandango. And so, I mean, the crowd was really into it, and at least in that match, everybody was into it. And you still even had the people that appreciated what Y2J was doing. You didn't really hear too many boos from him, except for when Punk was getting beat down. And then it's like, okay, now there's a boo. But, you know, everybody still appreciated Jericho for everything he's done, too.
What are your thoughts on the fact that Jericho put Punk over?
I was happy with it. I was a little worried about it because I was kind of curious where they might go with this now that he's actually wrestling. If you have him lose to Jericho, then he has lost the last three pay-per-views between The Rock and then Undertaker and now Jericho. Are you going to get him into a thing where you know, he starts going downhill? Are you going to make him really a heel again, or like a big time heel, or are you going to try to turn him a little bit more face, you know, the in-betweener? But you really did get that feel like it was almost over when Heyman got on the ring, and it's like, what's he even doing up there? And it's like, oh no, great, yep, this is where Jericho's going to win it. And then all of a sudden he kicks out again. It's like, it was a very, very exciting match, very well done too.
Now, well, and that should have obviously been the main event, but let's talk about the main event.
The Divas match?
And we have John Cena taking on Ryback in the 3 stages of hell. You know, they exchange victories in the first two. But what was the crowd like for that match?
The crowd was up and down. I mean, I think there is still the hatred for Cena just in Chicago. And, I mean, they just laid into him. But then there weren't very many cheers for Ryback either. There was just flat out like, we don't want to watch either of these. And but, you know, you still had all the people, you know, we love Cena. And I know I texted both of you. One of my favorite signs of the night was we've seen enough with the Cena like X'd out, like anti-Cena. And I was like, that's great.
I thought the best one was don't hinder ginger. Or
don't hinder gender.
Thank you, yes.
Yes. I love that one. And then the other one I saw was Feed Me S'mores. And I was like, that one's great.
I do want some s'mores right now. So
I know. And here's a quick plug to DQ. They have this great s'mores blizzard out right now.
Nice. Now, how did the crowd react once Ryback went through the ambulance?
I know, at least in my area, it was one of those, oh my God, when they started tearing apart the ambulance, and it's like, huh, yeah, This is great. All right, I bet you $5 he goes through the ambulance to get in. And no one would take my bed because everybody knew it was going to happen. And then they start climbing up there, and it's like, no, 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 no. Please don't end it like this. Don't end it. Oh, that, yep, there it is.
Were you thinking, then, was it WrestleMania X8 the entire time? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Or is it WrestleMania 7, Aaron?
I think it was WrestleMania 18.
Mm-hmm. The game for the GameCube.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all in all, Doug, it sounds like you pretty good. You said the first biggest pop is Punk. Second biggest was RVD.
Yeah.
After that, what was the third biggest pop of the night?
I think Ziggler. You know, there was still some chance for Ambrose, which I'm liking that people are rooting for him. And I will have to say this: watching that match, and you should really watch it again. The stuff that Dean Ambrose was doing to Kane, I'm surprised that Kane didn't go into the back and watching Dean Ambrose just hit him in the back of the head like that and smacking him around a little bit, and then just other things where he was just, completely mocking Kane. It really looked like this was the Dean Ambrose show, and Kane was just a guest.
So all in all, one thing I said earlier in the show that the Wrestling Observer, it was the first time I've ever seen where everyone who voted loved the show. I've never seen that before. Do you consider this a great show?
I think the matches themselves turned out to be great. The wrestlers performed well. Each match was performed very, very well. Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler. That was my biggest shock of the night because I thought there was no way they could take the title away from Ziggler. And then just watching Del Rio kick him and hit him in the head, and Ziggler put on a great show and sold it just matchlessly. The Kane-Dean Ambrose match, like I said, was well done. Even the women's match was, tolerable. People went to the, I will say this, a lot of people did leave to go get their drinks or whatever, use the bathroom. But when they came back, there was still people were surprised that, A, the match was still going on, and B, they're like, hey, wait a minute, this is actually decently well done.
Now,
and then,
I was going to say, where were you exactly sitting? Like, if you're, the cameras are facing the ring, where exactly were you?
I am in the far right corner. In the 100 level. So, there's a lot of them. I haven't checked out the camera angles too much. I kind of just skip through it on my replay. But a lot of it, when it starts, I don't know if you'll see me because of people holding up signs in front of me. And it's like, you just want to rip them down because it's not great. It's just come on.
Understandable. Do you think this pay-per-view could have been done anywhere but Chicago?
I think it really had to be Chicago. Either Chicago or New York is the two places where I think you're going to get something like this, especially the heel turn for Del Rio. Because you listen to everybody after WrestleMania when they had it in New York, and everybody was chanting for Ziggler to come out. And then when they do, just a huge pop for him. This is a guy they're trying to shove down your throat as a heel, and everybody loves him. So I think New York and Chicago are two of the places that you're not going to get away a heel necessarily or a face. You're going to get who the crowd loves.
Gotcha. So if it was in Peoria, Illinois, it would have never been able to work.
No.
Nice, no. Nice. So, Doug, I just want to say thanks for coming on the show and discussing the WWE Payback pay-per-view that you attended, of course, in Chicago, Illinois, at the Allstate Arena. That's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, Doug Hahn, I am Andrew Hughes. Until next time, we'll see you in the ring.